night of high drama in the UEFA Champions League. Bayern triumph over Paris. Feyenoord come from three down to claim a draw at Manchester City. Lewandowski reaches his century. Atletico and Atalanta score six, while Arsenal and Leverkusen hit five. We'll get into it all. Welcome along, I'm Ben Haynes. Good evening as well to European football expert Kevin Hatchard and commentator Mark Scott. So much to get through, so many big scores to talk about, with only three matches on this first night of match day five with less than five goals. But we weren't shortchanged, were we, fellas?
Absolutely not. We've had high drama, we've had incredible comebacks, we've had some top-class players on show. We've had milestones as well. Robert Lewandowski scoring his 100th Champions League goal. So we've had, the usual high drama we get on a Champions League evening.
Let's just quickly run through all of tonight's scores. Bayern 1, Paris 0, Man City 3, Feyenoord 3. Barcelona beat Brest by 3-0. Arsenal got a great win on the road against Sporting. They won 5-1 in Lisbon. Inter go top. They beat Leipzig 1-0. Leverkusen won 5-0 against Salzburg. Young Boys on the end of a 6-1 defeat to Atalanta in Bern. Bratislava lost by 3-2 to Milan earlier on, and Sparta Praha lost by 6-0 to Atletico. Let's start in Germany. Bayern took on Paris in a true battle of European heavyweights. Mark Scott, watch this one.
Everyone is crowding around the goalkeeper on his goal line. That's a better ball in, and it nearly went all the way in. Bayern score. It's done the job. Kim is there to head Bayern in front. Bayern 1, Paris 0.
So, Mark, Kim's goal, enough, but that doesn't really tell the whole story of the game.
No, I think overall Bayern were good value for their victory. Obviously, the sending off of Ousmane Dembele in the second half somewhat coloured the way that the match panned out. It was certainly more even before it was 11 against 10. I think that Bayern overall got their game plan right. Kingsley Coman was very impressive in the first half, arguably the player of the match, despite being taken off in the second period by Vincent Kompany. But their game management worked, their tactics worked. I think that Paris were found a little bit wanting, especially when they went down to 10, as they didn't offer too much going forwards. But I think that you can not really look past Bayern, especially at home, as being a real force to be reckoned with.
I think it's one of those games where Paris again look back on it and say the fine margins didn't go our way, we didn't make them go our way. I thought they recovered well from being penned back first few minutes. And they had a spell where their press started to work and they started to cause a few problems. But then the chance falls to Warren Zaïre-Emery, only 18, but he sets high standards for himself. He's going to be a top, top player, but he misses a fairly routine opportunity. So that goes against them. Then they give away a poor goal from their point of view. Bayern will be pleased with it because it's a great delivery by Kimmich, as is so often the case. But Safanov, who's come in to replace Donnarumma for the night, doesn't get enough distance on his punch, and it falls straight to Kim, and Kim can't miss. So that then goes against them. And the final bit that goes against them, really, is when Ousmane Dembele is sent off. He's already been booked, we think, for dissent in the first half. That's certainly what it seemed to be. And then dives in to try and win the ball back, having had a shot blocked, and catches his man. And it's the kind of challenge an experienced player like that doesn't need to make. So some positives, some of the young players stood up. They didn't fold, they didn't wilt, but they've lost.
Do you think, Mark, that the most pleasing thing for Vincent Kompany will be that game management that you mentioned? Considering we spoke so much about how open Bayern can potentially be with the style of play that he's wanted to try and instill.
Yeah, they showed real game intelligence, especially I think Kevin picked up on it during the game, that at the start of the second half they seemed to slow the tempo down. They weren't really going at it as much, almost saying to Paris, look, we've got the lead, it's down to you to try and come out of your shell now, and we're going to pick you off and make the most of the spaces. So it did show real game intelligence, and the players responded to it. I mean, look, he's got this wonderful mix of youthful talent that is raw, such as the likes of Michael Olise that they brought in over the summer, but they've also got the wise old heads like Harry Kane and Thomas Muller, who came on from the bench as well to help them get over the line. So I think, yeah, it perhaps wasn't as much one for the sort of cut and thrust, but more about the intelligence and the cleverness that they showed in the way that they saw the game through.
We can't argue with the numbers. That's seven straight clean sheets in all competitions now. They've not conceded a goal since that 4-1 loss at Barcelona. They've managed 11 shutouts in all competitions. If you look at their league form, they've gone five league games without conceding for the first time in 7 years since Ancelotti was in charge. So it's working. There's risk in there. There's no doubt about it. You're asking Upamecano and Kim to cover a hell of a lot of ground. You're asking Kimmich to come and help them out. And it does give opposition teams the chance to hurt them, but they're not hurting them.
Once again, is Kimmich a bit of an unsung hero here? When we talk about the way that this played out tactically, there's so much flair and attacking talent on the pitch, but he still has to knit it all together.
Yeah, I think what Paris tried to do, and Mark picked up on this in commentary actually, they tried to make it really difficult for him because Fabian Ruiz sat on him at times. Then you'd have João Neves trying to close him down. So they tried to affect him, and Bayern just found other ways to progress the ball. And actually, having a player like Leon Goretzka alongside him, Goretzka isn't really a passer, but what he is somebody who can carry the ball. And that gives you an opportunity to break the lines that way. If you can't do it with Kimmich, fine, you just do it with Goretzka instead. So they're a team that's playing with confidence. They're a team that's enjoying its football. Is it perfect at the moment? No, not yet, but you wouldn't expect it to be. He's only been there a few months, but I think they are making step after step after step.
Mark, I think you mentioned it on comms, but this feels like the first night of this year's league phase where there was real jeopardy. Felt that the fact that Bayern now push towards that top eight, and for Paris they're going to have to work very hard in their final three games.
Yeah, I mean, this is where this new UEFA Champions League phase comes into its own, really, because the points felt absolutely vital when you look at where they are in the standings. Bayern now knocking on the door of the top eight and automatic progress to the round of 16. As for Paris, it's left them staring at elimination, and that's incredible when you think about a club of their size and stature. But I think it shows just how competitive this new format has been and the wonderful surprises that we've been treated to so far.
I think what it shows as well, actually, this is a project, right? The idea of what Paris are trying to do, put together a lot of young players, try and develop them, grow as a team, but you are going to get growing pains. And they seem to have backed Luis Enrique. They trust him to take this team forward. But you are going to have tough nights like this where the players will have to learn what it takes to win games at this level. They've been dominant in Liga, but this is a different standard.
It leaves Paris in 26th. On the night, it moves Bayern up into 11th. Elsewhere, at the City of Manchester Stadium, a quite remarkable comeback from Feyenoord. They were 3-0 down against Man City, but they found a way back, Kevin. What an unbelievable comeback that is for them.
It was extraordinary, but I think it shows City's lack of confidence and fragility at the moment, and I'm sure Pep Guardiola would accept that. I mean, you said yourself, Ben, when you were calling the goals, he had his head in his hands even before
that
equaliser had gone in. You know, he felt that jeopardy. He felt that potential for Feyenoord to come back.
And I do wonder whether that switch in the stadium perhaps gave Feyenoord the belief that they needed after that first goal to think, we might be in here.
The first goal's the key, because that then starts everybody looking at each other thinking, is this where it starts to go wrong again? And I don't care who you are, you know, you could be the best coach, the best team, and they have been at times in this competition, at times in domestic football. But if your confidence is low and you've had a run of five straight defeats, as soon as that first goal goes in, and Feyenoord have players that can really hurt you. I mean, Santi Jimenez, the striker who scored so many goals for them in recent seasons, not long back from injury, there was a worry about whether he'd be fit to play any role in this, but he gets the second, and then they manage to get that equaliser from Hansko. The goalkeeper's out of position and he heads home at the far post. So massive congratulations to Feyenoord, who've been excellent away from home, really struggled at home in this competition, but away from home, that's 7 points out of three games.
Mark, do you think that would have been something that Feyenoord would have been thinking, if we can just hang in here and play on the counter-attack a little and just take advantage of any defensive lapses, that they could find their way back into the game?
Certainly, because they would have watched the job that Tottenham Hotspur did on Manchester City in the English Premier League at the weekend, and there was a lot of that in their game plan, and the way that they executed that to wonderful effect in their 4-0 success at Manchester City over the weekend. And I think Kevin's touched on something. You could have all the quality in the world, but if you are wobbling and confidence is a bit low and you're lacking a bit of belief, then that really is something that you can't coach or can't buy. And the goals that they've conceded this evening against Feyenoord smack of a team who aren't quite at it in terms of their defensive durability. They've found their scoring touch again, and you know that's one positive for Manchester City fans, that Erling Haaland has got two against Feyenoord after his, shall we say, barren patch by his standards. But I think the nature of the goals will be a concern, as will their next fixture, which is the small matter of Liverpool at Anfield in the English Premier League.
It doesn't get any easier, does it, Kev?
No, it doesn't. And if you haven't got the world's best defensive midfielder, that's a real blow. You know, Rodri is regarded as the best player in his position for a reason. But they've had Kovacic, has had some injury problems as well. You know, that mobility in midfield hasn't been there. And it is difficult because the aura of invincibility, I always think in football, is a really big deal. I think once that starts to go, it's really difficult to get it back because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've just said it. Feyenoord went there and went, we could actually do something against these. That wouldn't normally happen.
I don't think that even happens normally at 3-1. Normally at 3-1, that's a consolation goal. Yep. But with 15 minutes to go, Feyenoord just sensing there might be an opportunity there. Let's go on and speak a little bit about Inter. They now top the league phase. They won 1-0 tonight against Leipzig. And Kevin, it's another clean sheet.
Yeah, and they are very, very impressive domestically and in this competition because they've not conceded a goal. It was a controlled performance. They didn't give up much against Leipzig. It's really difficult for Leipzig now because they've lost all of their games and they've had some really tough games. You know, they've had to play Liverpool, they've had to play Inter, they've had to go away to Madrid to play Atletico, they've had Juventus at home. So they've lost all of their games. The real body blow for them was going to Celtic and playing in the way that they did, because that would have been they would have felt an opportunity to get on the board. They've had lots of injuries, so you have to give mitigation in that regard, but 5 games, 5 defeats, that's tough.
They're not free scoring in the Champions League, but they're just so defensively compact. I mean, we saw it against Arsenal. There was this unbelievable concentration when under pressure. But again tonight, Pavard, De Vrij and Bastoni, very, very solid at the back.
Well, he can rotate and it doesn't seem to make much of an impact. He can rely on the fact he's got a world-class goalkeeper in Jan Sommer, who's been doing it time and time again for Borussia Mönchengladbach in the Champions League, for Bayern in the Champions League, now for Inter. So you can rely on that. And also, when you have the firepower they've got, the likes of Lautaro Martinez, the likes of Marcus Thuram, they've got such control in midfield with Calhanoglu. It's a unit, and they are incredibly well coached. And when we talk about the best coaches in Europe, you have to talk about Simone Inzaghi, because the body of work is there.
Yes, doing a wonderful job. Not a single goal conceded in this league phase of the Champions League so far. Let's go on to talk about Sporting against Arsenal. Now, Mark, Arsenal, a thoroughly professional job tonight, winning 5-1. And where we saw with Man City, Feyenoord scored a goal and you thought, there's possibility that they could come back here. Sporting got their goal after half-time and Arsenal just continued to carry on with their business and really blew Sporting away in the second half.
Yeah, and I think this has been in the post, to be honest with you. Arsenal have had a bit of a wobble by their standards, not quite to the same degree that their English Premier League counterparts Manchester City have had, but they returned to a bit of form at the weekend. I was at their game against Nottingham Forest in the league when they swept aside a Forest team who had actually gone unbeaten all season away from home, so it was no mean feat to beat them easily by 3-0. And Mikel Arteta shook things up a bit. He made five changes. There were a few raised eyebrows. There was no Partey in the side. He operated with a different looking back line as well. But it worked. And he said to us afterwards that the reason for that is he wanted everybody in the squad to feel that they had something to offer, something to bring to the table. And he used the word hunger. The hunger was back. And the hunger was definitely there against Sporting because they were absolutely ravenous for more goals as that game went on.
Thoroughly impressive performance from Arsenal tonight. Player of the match was Bukayo Saka, and we can hear from him now.
We did know that it would be an amazing stadium with a team that is hungry, as they've been all season. And yeah, we were ready for that. And, you know, we won all our duels. We were top today. So I'm proud of all the boys.
He's been so impressive this season, Kevin.
Yeah, he has. And that shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, this is a guy that now is at the elite level, scores goals, makes goals, not just for Arsenal, for England. I think he's shown real fortitude to come through some of the personal setbacks he's had in his career. You know, you think about him missing the penalty in that European Championship final, and I think he's stood up brilliantly since then. Just to put this into context, Arsenal hadn't scored a goal in their last four away games in the Champions League. So to do this at the Al-Wahed is hugely impressive because Sporting hadn't lost at home for a long, long time. So this is a really impressive performance from Arsenal. You know, they went to Atalanta and they drew 0-0. They went to Inter and they lost. Hadn't scored in either of those games. So this is a big step forward for them.
Kevin, let me just chuck this quote to you. I know you'll enjoy this. This is an Andy Brassel special.
Ah, wonderful.
He said,
wonderful.
Haven't had one of those for a while.
Ruben Amorim left a spotless house, a made bed, and five portions of lasagna in the freezer. Just turns out, unfortunately, tonight they were for Arsenal, those portions.
Well, I think Arsenal have picked them up and thrown them all over the house, to be honest, and messed up that spotless home.
Because I wish someone left five pieces of lasagna for me.
They were always going to be under a little bit of pressure tonight, with it being the first Champions League night without Ruben Amorim.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, but I think this was more about Arsenal's quality, to be honest, because Arsenal can do this to teams. You know, Sporting thrashed Manchester City last time out. I think it's a setback, but I don't think it's one that will derail them. I think it was more tonight about Arsenal's quality, and you heard Bukayo Saka say there, it was about them winning the physical battle. That was the most important thing.
Let's go over to Barcelona. They beat Brest by 3-0. Story of the night here, Mark, Robert Lewandowski becoming the third player in Champions League history to score 100 goals. He sits now on 101 because he got a brace, so he's after Cristiano Ronaldo on 140, Lionel Messi on 129. He has 101 in 125 appearances.
Underrated, in my view. I think that, you know, he doesn't benefit from the fact that he's of the same era as the likes of Ronaldo and Messi, amongst others. And I think he goes under the radar. He's always reliable. He keeps himself in remarkable condition. You know, he's got that very interesting diet where he likes to go dessert, main course, then starter, in that order, and it's worked well for him.
Scotty just
career.
Does dessert.
Just lasagna. Just lasagna. I honestly think he's underrated, and I think that, you know, I think that the current manager is getting the best out of him as well. I think that that can't be understated. The fact that he's making the most out of a player that's always been there but perhaps wasn't being used to the best of his abilities previously.
I think Mark's hit upon a really important point there. I think it's that click between Hansi Flick and Robert Lewandowski, because I think Lewandowski's been re-energised by Flick's arrival. You look at what they did together with Bayern München, they won everything there was to win, and Flick was there for a relatively short time before he took the Germany job, and I think those two just worked really well together. And Flick plays very attacking football, and that naturally plays into what Lewandowski's best at, which is scoring goals.
15 goals for Hansi Flick on the way to that Champions League title. You'd imagine, Mark, that the moment that you see someone like Hansi Flick come through the door, Robert Lewandowski's thinking, this is going to suit me perfectly.
Yeah, I think that he knows that the head coach knows exactly what he brings to the table. He doesn't have anything to prove, and I don't mean that in a way that he'll slacken off in training, but it's almost as if, look, I can play my natural game. You know what I bring to the table. I trust you. I believe in you. And that's a two-way street as well. Players need to have faith in the coach, and the coach therefore knows that he's got the backing of the players.
On a big night for Robert Lewandowski, I want to make sure that we don't miss out on the chance to talk about Dani Olmo as well, because he scored a wonderful goal tonight, dancing feet through the defence and a gorgeous finish too. He'll be delighted with that, Kevin.
Yeah, and he's carried on the momentum that he built up at the European Championship with Spain. He was such an important player for them, winning that tournament. And the question with him has always been, if he can avoid injury, he's going to dominate games. And he has started to do that. You know, it's never his fault. Some players are just very unlucky. And he's been really unlucky with some of the injury problems that he's had. But when he plays, he's a joy to watch.
More huge scorelines to get into as well. Leverkusen won 5-0 against Salzburg. Florian Wirtz, just wonderful to watch this evening. And Kevin, you called it a little bit earlier on. You said, watch out for Atalanta. They won on the road 6-1 against Young Boys. Impressed with them tonight?
Yeah, really impressed. Matteo Retegi got a couple of goals. Charlotte de Catalara played well. And I think that's what you get with Atalanta. They're not reliant on just one player. You know, Adamola Lookman was on the bench. They've got all of that quality going forwards, and they are really enjoying themselves at the moment. They're right up there in Serie A. They're playing really well in this tournament. They won the Europa League last season. The only team to beat Leverkusen in the whole of last season in any competition. They'll take some stopping.
Still to come on the podcast, we'll look at the early matches in the Champions League on Tuesday.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Two early games on this Champions League Tuesday. In Slovakia, Bratislava faced the visit of European giants AC Milan, whilst Atletico made the visit to Sparta Praha.
Yes, Alvarez! Goalkeeper didn't move, and it's glorious. Helped in by Llorente, it's gone all the way in. And it's nothing more than Atletico Madrid deserve. They've absolutely dominated this first half. Lovely return pass, easy as you like. It's game over. Look at the room for Alvarez. And it's four. Antoine Griezmann helps himself. Lino to tap in, can't miss from there, Angel Correa, and Atletico Madrid hit five, looking for a sixth here, Correa could be in, Angel Correa, it is six.
Abraham has sent Pulisic away, who has got the time, and has the composure as well. It's Barsegian, it's one each, there's the Slovan counterpunch, and Bratislava is having one big party to celebrate. Here's the chance they've been waiting for, and Rafael Leao takes it. Super smooth from the Portuguese. Abraham should score. It's 3-1, it's all over. His first Champions League goal for 4 years. Marcelli! That is a blistering strike. Mike Maignan just didn't see it.
So Milan taking all 3 points in Slovakia, beating Bratislava by 3-2. Let's hear from one of the Milan goal scorers, Tammy Abraham.
No, I'm happy. I thought I should be man of the match, but I'm joking. No, I'm always happy for my team, you know, to do well, to help my team today, you know, with the goal and the assist. And every time I'm on the pitch, I want to help. And today was to help the team, and I'm happy with the 3 points.
Our reporter in Slovakia was Rasto Ribic. I spoke to him a little earlier and started by discussing the pride the home side should feel despite defeat.
It was a really special game, also for the fans and also for the players, and especially for the Kuzka, who was player for AC Milan. He likes AC Milan since he was a kid, and he was finally fit to play after 2 months. He plays last time from the lineup against Celtic in September. So, but unfortunately, after his mistake, Milan scored the first goal. But it was also a really tough game, and Slovan was still in until the last seconds of the game. It's a really good result, but you know, fifth game, still Slovan is still without points.
And we should praise the Bratislava defence. They put up a really firm showing. It took moments of quality to break them down.
Yeah, so AC Milan was really good. But as coach said in the press conference ended few minutes ago, it was he congratulates AC Milan for the 3 points. But as he said, it was the best game for Slovan, and also congratulates to his players for the excellent performance.
UEFA's reporter in Slovakia, Resto Hribic, there. Elsewhere in Prague, Atletico put on a real show, winning 6-0 against Sparta Praha. And Kevin, a number of players you could pick out this evening. Julian Alvarez, player of the match. Griezmann come on and had a real impact. And Correa getting a brace there.
Yeah, and I think it's just the continuation of Atletico improving in recent weeks. They got a really important win at the weekend in La Liga. And they do have lots of different ways that they can hurt you now. And Julian Alvarez went to Atletico to be one of the main men. Obviously, it's difficult when you're battling with Erling Haaland for game time at Manchester City, but he won everything there was to win with them. He's already a World Cup winner. And he wanted to take a step up as an individual. And I think he's starting to do that. Took his free kick very well. I was actually more impressed with the finish for his other goal, actually. Thought that was really well finished. And Angel Correa is just, you know, chaos personified. He comes on and he makes things happen. He's the ultimate super sub. I think he's a brilliant player. He comes on, you know, he either makes goals, scores goals, scored against Paris, really important goal. I think he's a great player. And I think they do have the feel of a team that could grow into this competition and actually be really difficult to beat.
Just going back to Alvarez, is there a stylistic fit with Atletico, or does it take a little bit of time to fit into this team?
I think it takes time, but I think he's by nature somebody that isn't that classic reference point of a number nine. He can play in a deeper role. He's a really intelligent footballer. He can link the play, but he has to be a goal scorer. They paid a lot of money for him, so he's going to be judged on being a goal scorer. So all of the other stuff is great, and that's going to help, but ultimately he's there to score goals, and he has competition because he has Correa, he has Alex Sørloth, who they brought in from Villarreal, so he knows he has to deliver at a high level.
And he's done his job tonight. Another night of Champions League football to look forward to this week. Here's what you need to know ahead of Wednesday's matches. Our focus on Wednesday night will be on Anfield, where Liverpool host Real Madrid, whose 15-game Champions League unbeaten run at the Bernabeu came to an end. They were beaten 3-1 by Milan on match day 4. And you have to go back to 2009, though, for Liverpool's last Champions League victory over Los Blancos. Boss Arne Slot's been speaking about that record, including the last meeting between these two, when Real won 6-2 on aggregate in the round of 16 in 2023.
I wasn't aware of the fact that we played them so many times. I was aware of the fact 2 years ago they were, if I'm correct, I say they because I was not part of it, but we were 2-0 up, I think. And I think I even used that game to my team at Feyenoord at that moment, saying Madrid always finds a way of winning that game, because the moment when it was 2-0 up, there was no one that would have expected that that game would end up being 5-2 for Madrid. But that is what makes them so special, that they can turn games around like that, but they can also take the ball tomorrow and just dominate you from the start. And yeah, probably one of the reasons is that they have a great manager for years already, and they have great individuals as well. And that makes them one of the best, maybe their best club in the last 5 to 10 years in Europe.
So, plenty of praise for Real Madrid from Slot. 21 Champions League titles between the sides. And two of the last seven finals have seen the two sides go head-to-head, with Madrid coming out on top in 2018 and 2022 as well. Elsewhere, one of the surprise packages so far in this season's Champions League, Monaco. They remain undefeated following impressive victories against Barcelona, Sevilla, Zvezda and Bologna, along with a draw away at Dinamo as well. They face Benfica on Wednesday, but coach Adi Hütter is determined for his side to keep their feet on the ground, saying, "I'm pleased with the 10 points we've accumulated. We're near the top of the standings, but right now we're concentrating on our next matches." A reminder, UEFA Matchday Live is on air from 8:45 CET tomorrow, ahead of commentary of Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Promises to be a special night at Anfield, Kevin.
I think it'll be terrific. I think you've got a Liverpool team that's full of confidence I commentated on their game at Southampton at the weekend, actually, and I thought, even though it was by no means their best display, the fact they were able to dig in and find a way to win was really, really important for them. It kept their momentum going. 8 points clear at the top of the Premier League. That's an extraordinary achievement already. They've been great in this competition. But they know, and Arne Slot's right to point it out, that they're up against the European champions. And even though they're a bit bashed up at the moment in terms of personnel issues, there's still world-class quality everywhere you look.
And Scotty, I've got to say, I'm a little bit jealous of where you're going to be tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Villa-Juve game is a really interesting one because two teams that came into the tournament with high hopes, it's been a bit hit and miss in terms of their form. Aston Villa, pretty lucky to get a point against Crystal Palace in the Premier League on Saturday, and Juventus are missing a whole raft of first-team players as well. So it'll be interesting to see the sort of side that they put out, but a game that's tough to call, and we've seen so many of those type of matchups in this season's UEFA Champions League.
Let's just run you through the other matches on Wednesday. So the two early kickoffs, Sivena Zvezda versus Stuttgart, and then Sturm Graz against Girona. And then later on, PSV versus Shakhtar, Dinamo against Dortmund, Celtic face Brugge, Monaco against Benfica, and then Bologna against Lille. Let's turn our attention back now to Tuesday evening's games. Kevin, Mark, moments of the night for you?
I think actually the end of the Bayern game where Kim, Upamecano, Neuer all came together to celebrate not only the win but the clean sheet. This is a team that we talk about a lot going forward, scoring goals, Harry Kane. But actually, this is a team that seems to love defending under Vincent Kompany, and that's going to be really important for them going forward.
I have to say, I was slightly distracted at full time in our match by the scenes that were happening at Manchester City with Feyenoord's incredible comeback and the celebrations afterwards. So for me, that's got to be the one.
Well, let's hear from Feyenoord coach Brian Prisk.
Unbelievable evening and unbelievable game as well, facing still for me best team in the world, but obviously they're struggling in some elements at the moment, even though they were leading 3-0 and then they gave away three key moments that we exploited at the end. So remarkable effort, remarkable mentality from our boys.
That's where we'll leave it for this evening. Thanks to Kevin and to Mark. What a night in the UEFA Champions League. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 CET on Wednesday with full commentary of another huge matchup as Liverpool host Real Madrid at Anfield. Plus, we'll bring you all the goals as they go in from the rest of the night's game. My thanks once again to Kevin and to Mark for their company this evening. But for now, from me, Ben Haynes, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.